And we are live. Welcome to another episode of the Market Made Easy with the Maxwell Group. Today we are joined by Kathleen Yetman, Executive Director of the Prescott Farmers Market. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks so much for inviting me.
Bless you.
Thank you. It's all the pollen in the air. Oh my gosh.
So much
spring
pollen.
Has sprung.
With
holy
a vengeance.
Moly. Clouds of pollen.
Yeah, it's real bad. It's real bad. You know, a friend of ours last year made a little video that went viral where he just stands on his deck and throws a rock at one of the trees in his yard, and it's like the tree just moves, but it's like the soul of the tree is leaving the tree, and I'm feeling about like that today.
Yeah, I saw that video. Just, it did go viral.
Yeah, just a little cloudy. A little cloudy today.
It's okay.
I'm going to try not to sneeze for the rest of the show. So I'm really glad you're here. It's so great to see you. And this month we're talking about nonprofits and actually tax season in general with a tax credit and opportunities to donate our dollars locally. And so I'm really glad you came, and we would love to hear a little bit about the farmers market and give a little bit of background about who you are. And we'd love to hear what's going on.
Great. I'll start by saying my family has a throat clearing problem. So
okay.
Just going to throw that out there.
Cool. All right.
And I have a little allergies also, so yeah. I'll try not to do that too much. So I was born and raised here in Prescott. Mm-hmm. Moved away after I graduated from college and went to school in Oregon, and then moved to Tucson, and then was on the Fort Apache Indian Reservation over in the White Mountains, where I was teaching nutrition and gardening to kids over there, which was a really amazing and challenging experience, it's a place that I really love and miss sometimes. And then I was ready to move back here, and there was a position open with the Prescott Farmers Market, and so it all kind of worked out for me to move back. Because my parents still live here, and I, as I said earlier, have a 3-year-old and a 1-year-old, and I don't know how people raise children without grandparents. So,
Gosh, I know it's pretty amazing. So, position with the farmers market, is that who pays for that position? Like who runs that?
So I'm the executive director, and then we have three other part-time staff members.
Okay.
Right now we're all part-time.
Okay.
But I kind of chose to be part-time because of my children.
Uh-huh.
And so we have a board of directors as well as a nonprofit. So up until a couple years ago, 100% of our income came from the 10% that we collect from vendors at each market.
Oh, okay.
And so so they sign up with a booth fee, they feel like it's like an application fee. And then they pay 10% of their total sales at each market. So we have really small vendors. Like we have I think she's 14 now, and she sells cactus. And she, like sometimes she makes like $50 is like a good day for her. And we're like really excited about it. So we get $5 from her. And then we have, you know, some of our bigger growers that make thousands of dollars. And so we make a little more from them. So it's like a sliding scale and it works out really well.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's how you get paid is through our participation in buying from these local vendors.
Correct.
Cool. So what do you have to do to be a vendor? Like, what are the requirements?
Yeah, so we are a producer-only market, which means that you have to grow or raise whatever you bring to the market.
Okay.
So there's no reselling at the market.
Okay.
And that's really important to us and the integrity of the market because we want to make sure that people aren't like going down to Phoenix and getting a truck of tomatoes and bringing them up and selling them to you saying that they're locally grown when they're not, which happens a lot apparently down in the valley.
Okay.
And so, and we stand by that. We do farm inspections. So when people apply, when farmers apply, they submit a crop plan that says when they're going to plant things and when they expect to harvest it. And then we go and we do inspections around that time, and we kind of notice what they're bringing to the market. And then we also go actually to their farm to make sure that they're growing what they're bringing to the market. And surprisingly, we're, I think, one of the only markets in Arizona that does that.
Wow.
So,
yeah.
It's actually really impressive.
Yeah. And we have kicked a couple people out. So we mean it.
Okay, so on average, how many people do you have who participate as vendors on any given Saturday? Saturday. Oh, see, I got it.
I'll do the pitch first. Saturdays, okay. Right now it's 10 to 1 at Prescott High School.
Okay. All right.
And then in the summer, which is our winter market's growing really big as well. Mm-hmm. So it started in 2014. I started in April of 2014, and then that was the first year we had the winter market. And we probably had 15 vendors at the winter market, and now it's like 25 to 30, so it's almost doubled in size.
Wow.
Very nice.
Yeah.
And in the summer, too.
And then the summer, yeah, it's grown. So the summer, I'd say we have between 50 and 60 is kind of our peak of vendors.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it is. It's really amazing. And it's always amazing to see people come out. Like sometimes I go as a customer every week, and just looking around and being like, all these people come. It's like amazing. It's just a short period of time, and to see like community come out is really inspiring to me. So
what kind of things what are these vendors providing right now? Do you have a big variety? You get a lot of the same. What do you have?
Yeah. Right now, I think a lot of people think in the winter there's not a lot of stuff, but we actually have a lot of variety. So with like hoop houses and row covers and things like that, farmers can grow things year round here, which is really exciting. So there's like greens right now, almost asparagus season, which is really exciting. People like fight over asparagus at the market. Like we really had some people not fists or anything, but there was a time when I was like, this is a little crazy because it runs out really fast. So it's like such a delicacy in a short window of time, only once a year. So people get really excited about asparagus.
I didn't know asparagus was such a hot market.
Yeah.
It's very interesting. I mean, we love asparagus in our home, but at grocery stores, you can typically get it year-round. So, man, I would love to just be there and watch somebody get into a fight over
asparagus.
A bundle of asparagus.
We'll see what we can do. So we have, greens, beets, carrots. So much stuff. Turnips, potatoes, radishes.
I mean, you still have your eggs and poultry? And...
Eggs, poultry, and pork. Okay. Locally raised pork and grass-fed beef. We have two different vendors.
Very nice.
Yeah. So really you can, we have bread bakers, so sourdough. We have like three different sourdough vendors, and they all make very different sourdoughs. So there's kind of something for everybody. And then there's like cinnamon rolls and cookies in case you need a little sweet treat.
A little something to...
Yeah.
Keep you going through the market.
Yeah. We also have a kombucha vendor, which is a newer one. So they make kombucha and they have a ton of flavors, and people suggest flavors all the time and they'll try them out, which is fun. I'm trying to think what else. And we have a mushroom vendor that comes from the valley. So they grow the mushrooms and bring them up, which is really cool. So
what about micro brews? I mean, there's that's kind of a thing right now. I'm sure there's rules about that.
Yeah, we would be happy to host. I have some friends who have a cider business, and I'd love for them to be in the market. But because we're on schools, they can't sell or taste.
Okay.
And so we don't have any alcohol on site. But hopefully someday we'll have a space where we can do that, because it would be great. Yeah,
there's a lot of people, brewing stuff in their houses and stuff like that that I've seen anyway. Yeah. They're like, try my mead and try this. And I'm like, wow, that's amazing. I have no idea how you did that, So that'd be really interesting to see.
Yeah, you should come check it out. It's an exciting time too, because everybody's feeling like springy, and we're starting to think about like tomatoes and peppers, which still won't come for a few more months, but it's a really exciting time to go to the market.
Excellent. So you guys have been around since?
1997. So the first market actually took place on Goodwin Street, right in front of the post office.
Nice.
Yeah, and so we're going to our 22nd season, summer season.
That's really impressive. It's something that I think, a lot of people like to spend their money locally, but where they run into issues is they don't know where to buy groceries. That's not a mega conglomerate somewhere.
Totally.
And so I think getting the word out that, it is more than just tomatoes and bell peppers and honey, they can go and get a very wide variety of stuff at these farmers markets. It's really cool.
Yeah, it is really It's really exciting. I mean, obviously, I love it. I'm totally biased, but
yeah,
you're allowed to be. It's okay.
But I benefit from my work, and then I get to, you know, go and eat really fresh food and know the people who grew it or made it, and that's really so special. Cool. Yeah.
Okay, so what about the tax credit? When somebody writes a check for their tax dollars to go your way, where do they go? Where do those tax dollars go?
Yeah, so to be a qualifying tax credit organization, essentially 50% of your budget has to go to programs that benefit low-income residents. And so our market is a program that does that. And our, I'd say the biggest program we do is our Double Up program. So anyone who, first of all, we accept cash, and then we also can swipe credit and debit cards. And we have tokens that you can use to shop at the market and buy anything you want. So those are our green tokens. And then we have blue tokens for our SNAP customers, which is like food stamps.
Okay.
So when they bring their EBT card, we swipe it at the information booth, and they can do any amount they want. But we have this program Double Up, so we can double that up to $20. So a family can come and swipe for $20, get their 20 tokens, and then we give them an additional 20 tokens to spend on fresh Arizona fruits and vegetables.
Okay. So it has to be one of the things that they would get through that kind of program.
Yeah. So they can spend the blue tokens on anything that they would get at the store normally. So bread, eggs, meat, anything. And then we have the special silver tokens, which is fun. And those are just for fresh fruits and vegetables that were grown in Arizona, which, because we're a producer only market, we don't have to worry about.
Is all of our fruits and vegetables.
And that's an amazing program because it really it supports families and seniors, whoever's, you know, using food stamps for a short amount of time, and then also benefits our vendors. So, you know, it supports farmers directly. So they're getting that money in their pockets. They're spending that money locally. So it has a huge ripple effect.
That's really cool that, you know, again, those options are there for, you know, I think, again, a misconception that a lot of people have is you've got to have big money to go shopping at the farmer's market. Like, oh, you're so lucky that you have that opportunity. But I don't think that a lot of people do fully understand that even for, you know, people who are going through a hard time, that that's an option for them as well.
Yeah, we're really lucky to be involved in that program. And it's a statewide program that's run by a nonprofit down in the Valley, Pinnacle Prevention. So there are markets all over Arizona that do the same market or the same program.
So that's
one way we qualify. We try to reach out to people that could take advantage of that because it's such an amazing program, and it's still hard to get the word out about that. So one thing we ask people to donate for is, we call it SNAP and WIC outreach. WIC is Women, Infants, Children, and that's another program for women with young children or breastfeeding mothers. And there's a farmers market nutrition program, which they get $30 worth of checks per season to go to the market, which is also amazing. And so so we're always trying to do outreach. We partner with the Cooperative Extension here and also the Yavapai County Community Health Services to try and reach those people. And then also do some programming at the market so that it's kind of a full circle. So people come. One of my concerns is I cook a lot. I still waste food. You know, especially with little kids, you know, like I'll find
that
something
thing that they were in love with yesterday.
Well, yes, that.
Now you cook it again later that week and they just hate it now.
Yeah.
That I'm suddenly like, the week's gotten away from me and the greens I bought like are starting to go. So anyway, I love to cook. I know how to cook. I have those skills. But I'm concerned that people at the market who maybe aren't familiar with cooking, especially with fruits and vegetables, you know, don't have the skills or don't have the knowledge, don't know recipes. So we try to do things at the market to actually teach them things and make sure that, yes, they're buying produce, new produce, and they can buy extra produce with our program, with the Double Up program. But do they know how to prepare it? Do they know what to make? Are they going to eat it when they get home? We don't know that. So we really try to do some programming to help people. And it really benefits everyone at the market. So we do some guest chef things at our education booth sometimes, or have those community partners come and do taste tests or pass out recipes and things like that. So that's one thing that hopefully a lot of people feel strongly about and want to donate to help us with that programming.
Yeah, and push that that initiative forward, I think, is really important and will impact our community and our kids too.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah, definitely. That's awesome. So, what kind of fundraising do you guys do throughout the year? Do you have any events coming up?
We do. So, we have one fundraiser right now. On our 20th anniversary back in 2017, we decided to do a farm to table dinner because it makes sense for us to do that.
Of course.
Yeah, I shouldn't say it was easy because it's a lot of work to plan, but it was an easy choice to begin with.
Yeah.
And it's a really great event. It's this year it's going to be on September 8th, which is a Sunday, and it takes place at the Holiday Courtyard downtown.
Okay.
And about 200 people, so it's a really big event. And it's we partner with local chefs, and they prepare, you know, produce and meat from local farms. And the food, of course, is amazing.
Yeah, I think the tickets ran out. They ran out in, less than 24 hours.
Yeah, they sold out quick, didn't they?
They do sell out quick. So if you are interested in attending, get on our email newsletter, because you get the first, the tickets are on sale.
Yeah.
You send it to
the first word.
I tried to buy tickets last year, and we couldn't even go. It was already sold out.
I'll put you on the list.
Okay. Because I really want to try it this year.
Yeah. It's really fun. And it's really festive. And I think it gives people an opportunity to, you know, to meet new people and just enjoy food together.
Yeah.
In a beautiful space.
And just appreciate what you guys have done. And, you know, all of the things that you guys provide. I think it's so cool.
Thanks.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So anything else on the horizon?
We do a quarterly seed exchange. We just had one, 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
So the next one will be in June. But it was so popular that I think everybody took all of our seeds. So I've got to find some more seeds before June. But eventually we're hoping to have a seed bank or a seed library. There's some really great programs across the country where at an actual book library, people can bring, there's a little catalog, and you can take seeds home and plant them. And so that's something that we down the line would really like to do. And so the seed exchanges are just kind of a stepping stone to get there. But that's a really fun opportunity, especially if you have kids, to come and let them pick stuff out. And last time we had this little girl, I have a picture of her, it's so great. She brought little envelopes with some corn that she'd grown, and put her name on it and wrote all this stuff. It was so great. So hopefully, eventually, there'll be seeds that people grew here so that they're, we know they grow well in our area.
Mm-hmm.
And then people can go and get them and plant them in their gardens. So that's another program we're working on.
So one other thing that I've seen people do is talk about worm exchanges.
Oh,
I've heard that people take, their worms that they find in their gardens, and they also exchange those along with seeds. But that's there's a worm exchange program out there somewhere. I know it. They talk about worms and how they help the cultivation of the soil and, I would love to see more education on how to compost and how to really use our climate in growing things. Because I've tried growing peppers here.
It's tough.
And that was sad. It was a sad situation.
I can kill artificial plants. I'm that amazing at gardening.
Yeah.
Not to brag or anything, but it's a talent that I have.
That's pretty impressive.
Do you know what is one of the best, or what are the best things to grow in this climate? Do you know?
Yeah, I mean, it depends on the year. So I just planted sugar snap peas because my three-year-old loved them last year. Mm-hmm. And he'd be like, where's Ezra? And then we'd find him out in the yard just pulling them off. They weren't ripe yet. So I was like, we're going to plant a ton next year so that, we actually get some.
Yeah.
So that's a good thing to plant right now. And also greens, we planted some lettuces, and we just have a little row cover on it because we're still going to get a frost. And that's why it's so hard for us to grow stuff here, because we have such a short growing season. So really Mother's Day is the last frost date.
Mm-hmm.
But 2 years ago in 2017, we had a deep freeze in June. It was June 14th. And so some of our farmers lost half of their crops in June, which is crazy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then there was flooding the next month. So there's a lot of weather things. But it's so amazing that people can grow that. And so I love to garden, but my thing is I'm going to let the farmers grow certain things. And then I'm going to choose the things that are easy and that I feel good about that we really eat.
Some confidence builders.
Yeah. So I stick with lettuces, a couple tomatoes.
Yeah. Tomatoes are kind of staple.
Zucchini.
You can do. Okay. Zucchini. Don't let them go too long.
No.
Now, I remember my dad used to grow zucchini, and they would be, like, the size of my
own. Yeah.
I mean, no joke. These things were, like, baseball bats.
Yeah. So good.
Yep. Zucchini bread for days. I know. Mean, everyone on the block yep. was getting zucchini bread. And he found so many interesting ways to use those zucchini.
There is a day in early August, like one of those, you know, national donut days or whatever, and it is yeah. National Leave a Zucchini on Your Neighbor's Porch Day.
What?
I kid you not.
We could have really used some knowledge about that when I was a kid, because all of the neighbors would have just had a zucchini on their yeah. porch.
Well, now you know.
Now we know.
That is amazing.
Yeah,
it's good. I know more now than I've ever known.
Oh, good.
Love it. Yeah, well, thank you so much for coming
yeah,
in.
Yeah, thank you guys. Yeah. And I hope to see you at the market. One of my favorite things about the market is that it's more than just a place to go buy your, you know, mm-hmm. your food. I love seeing my community there. Mm-hmm. And so we have, like, our tagline is see your neighbors, meet your farmers, know your food. And I love the food and I love knowing my farmers. But for me, like, seeing, mm-hmm. you know, people I grew up with or people I haven't seen in a really long time. Like, I saw my fourth grade teacher there this summer. And, you know, it's just, it's really special. And if you go and you kind of look around, it's people connecting. And I think that that's, especially mm-hmm. in this climate, it's really important for people to connect, mm-hmm. you know, with people that, like, their neighbors, not just your friends and family, but people maybe you don't know or don't see as often. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, come check it out. It's really fun.
And how can people get a hold of you guys if they would like to make a donation?
Thank you. Our website's probably the easiest way, and that's PrescottFarmersMarket.org/give. And you can also send a check to us if you like to send checks, because a lot of people do. Mm-hmm. And our PO Box is PO Box 1853, Prescott, Arizona 86302.
Mm-hmm. Perfect.
Awesome.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you guys. I really appreciate you taking time to talk to nonprofits in this town. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. And thank you guys for watching. Thanks for all your support. We really, really do appreciate it. And we'll be back next week. I'm Kellen Hoskins with Krista Maxwell. We hope you're having a lovely day, and we'll see you next time.